Blog Talk Radio.
Never before.
Ministries, we breaking the yokes of bondage and defying Satan in the process. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And we are certainly in for a time on this second series about loose lips sink ships. So before we get started with our lesson, I just want to have you give you a few announcements, as I always do. On March the 3rd, there will not be a blog. I will encourage you to go on Facebook and certainly listen to the previous messages that I have given. Again, on March the 3rd, which is next Saturday, there will not be a blog, but we will return on March the 10th. Also, I'm conducting my mental health awareness classes once a month, and I will get back with you as to when the March 1 will be take place. Well, actually, I can tell you that now it's going to be March the 16th, I do believe, on the third Friday of the month, and I will elaborate a little bit on the topic on the 10th of March. Amazing Grace School of Ministries, we're coming with another exciting series and teaching, so I want you to listen attentively and prepare yourself to attend classes, because certainly you will be blessed. And I'm blessed when I'm just teaching them. So I know the Lord will bless you to receive a blessing from those teachings. Okay, we're going to get into the lesson. There was a saying that I'm probably going to date myself, but it's a saying that says, "Love should have brought you home last night." And if anybody look at movies, and if anybody go back in your archives, I know Black Panthers and the theaters, but this was a movie that Halle Berry and Eddie Murphy was in called Boomerang. And certainly that was something that was said in the movie. And the Lord just kept putting that topic, "Love should have brought you home last night." So in essence, I'm going to change it up a little bit and say, "Love should have controlled your tongue." So we've been talking about loose lips sink ships. And this particular segment of this series, this second part, is "Love Controls My Tongue." So we're going to talk about this, and we're going to get right down to the lesson. So when we look at our tongue and we look at James, and I started out with "loose lips sink ships," a familiar saying that Flip Wilson used to say back in the day, and I know the millennials don't really know who Flip Wilson was, but Flip Wilson, of course, going to give you all just a little knowledge, those that will hear this lesson, a little history here. This is Black history, you know. We can even say that, well, Flip Wilson was part of our Black history, because he started African Americans dressing up in female attire. He was, I do believe, he was the first. He came before Madea. I just want to say that. Hey, Flip Wilson was before Madea. You know, all the young folks know Madea, Tyler Perry. But there was a Flip Wilson before there was a Tyler Perry. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in a way, we have been talking about our tongue. We've been talking about the fact that over in James talks about, and we read James, reference to James 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. And it says, you know, how we can control everything, how people can tame the animals, they can tame birds, they can tame fish, but the one thing they can't tame is the person, their tongue, and it's, you know, it's restless, it's evil, and it's full of poison. So he talks about the fact that our tongue is so corrupt and so evil that it, on one hand, will speak blessings, and then on the next hand, it will speak curses. And God does not want us to do that. So my topic today is love. Now, when we go over to the familiar passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I will encourage you, because I'm not going to be able to read all of this chapter, that you will read it. I'm just going to hit the first few verses, and we're going to move on. Chapter 13, first verse. "If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, speak." So how do you speak? Speak in tongues. I'm speaking, I'm talking in tongues, meaning that I'm speaking to men and of angels, but have not love. I am a noisy clang, a clog, or a clinging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all the faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burnt but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love, and this is the key. This is really what I'm going to end it on. I'm not going to go into any more of the scriptures on this book. Verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So we're talking about love controls my tongue. Some other scriptures that we need to look at, and I tell you, when I was doing my devotions this morning, the monthly scripture for devotions is Galatians 5 and 13, and I'm reading the English Standard Version. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You know, love. And I talked about in the opening, the one of the descriptions is that we are made into the image of God. And if you want to know where that's found in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, the first couple of chapters. It was in Genesis. And, you know, we are made in the image of God. And because we're made in the image of God, we need to understand how to treat each other. And a lot of times I talked about the first series of the tongues. I talked about how we get angry, and in that anger we react. But here, if we read 1 Corinthians and we hit the seventh verse of 1 Corinthians 13, we begin to understand and we begin to see that love constrains us, the love for one another, the love for our fellow brothers and sisters. And we must begin to understand that even though I want to tell you off, or even though I want to get you straight, and I want to get you straight and I want to tell you off, we're coming out of our flesh. And we don't understand where that person is coming from that's bitter, or that person is coming from that was resentful. And I'm going to even hit a segment. You know, everybody is on this Black Panther, ooh, Black Panther, ooh. Black Panther. But if you look at the psychological characteristics of the villain in this picture, you can say that he was created by the situation that he went through. So when we look at people, we don't know their story. We don't know what they're going through. And because of their narrative, because of their history, they come off pushy, they come off resentful, they come off as not caring, they come off as hard and guarded. But you know, love covers a multitude of faults. And when we begin to speak love, when we begin to show them love, when we begin to not react to what they're doing or what they're saying, then God gets the glory and God gets the victory. Proverbs 15 and 4 says, "The smoothing tongue is the tree of life, but a perverse tongue crashes the spirit." So here we have, again, love controls my tongue. Here we have a smoothing tongue, or kind words, or words of edifying, words that build a person up, words that encourage a person, words that will change a person's course of life, whether they're smoothing, whether they're kind, whether they're encouraging. They are like a tree of life. And last week I talked about how words play into a person's countenance, how they can build you up and how they can pull you down. And the scriptures just go ahead and confirms that. Now, on last week I was talking about five truths of James 3 through 6, or the not 3 through 6, but James chapter 3, and we were talking, especially verse 6. And I really didn't get an opportunity to go through all of the points. And I just want to run through the 3 points that I talked about, and then we're going to elaborate on the last 2 points, which I didn't get an opportunity to talk about. Now, I said the first one, the tongue is like fire. It's potentially destructive and dangerous if left uncontrolled. Mm-hmm. 2, and I just want to say, you know, I look at a lot of the television and a lot of people in this day and time. You find that we're walking in a day and time that there's a lot of hatred, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of frustration. People's needs are not being met, so therefore they feel like they've got to lash out. And of course, we've got bullying, and I talked about this, on the rise. So our tongue can be really dangerous. It could tear you down, and it could even, I said, sticks and stones. You know, there's a saying that says sticks and stones will break my bones, but words, oh yeah, words will hurt you. 2, the tongue is a world of iniquity. It is corrupt and able to lead others into worldly attitudes and actions. So when we look at iniquity, we can cross that, underline it as unrighteousness. So the tongue can make you do some things and say some things and corrupt a nation and lead people into the wrong attitude and the wrong actions. If you don't believe it, we can see who's in office. Okay. All right. Now, the tongue defiles the whole body if allowed to freely express itself without intellectual control. So therefore, you know, we have to control it because it will set the course of the whole body. So here we are with the last 4 points that I didn't get a chance to talk about, starting with the fact that the tongue sets on fire the course of nature. That means it can adversely affect every human relationship by opening the ears to the doors of evil influence. So when we look at the tongue, we can look at, again, what we're going through today and how things are so bad and how people are speaking so negatively, how people will speak negative versus speaking expressions of kindness. We begin to understand that tongue can affect our, even our daily relationships, even our friends, even our those couples, even marriages. That tongue can set the course to setting in bitterness, can set in the course to even open up evil influences. And you know, you have to be careful, you have to guard, you have to watch what you say, because some words you say to people, they don't forget. And they hold that against you. Although you might say, I'm sorry, but words hurt. Words are evil, and they come with evil influences. And because they come with those evil influences, we must allow Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. Because if we don't, we can say the wrong thing. And after we say the wrong thing, we can't take it back. We look at Matthew 12. Chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. It says, make a tree good and its fruits will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruits will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You bore of vipers, how can you who are evil say something good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of evil stored up in him. So when we begin to see the tongue and we begin to see those evil influences, we have to understand also what's down deep inside that person. And we've got to walk in a godly manner, and we've got to understand what kind of trees, what kind of fruits are you bearing. Are you hurt? Are you resentful? And because you're hurt and resentful, are you speaking evil? Are you speaking things that's going to change the course of your influence, going to change the course of how people see you? Or are you speaking those things that will set and uplift people and bear those fruits that are good and help those individuals that are struggling? So the last point that James is saying in verse 6, it says the tongue is used in ungodly way. And, of course, I just verified that actually in Matthew 12, the 12th chapter, it says the tongue is used in ungodly ways, and it's inflamed by hell itself. What? Yes. When you look at the tongue and when you see you're speaking evil, when you see that you're trying to tell somebody off or you're gossiping, and the Bible speaks of these things. The Bible speaks of the things that we ought not to be doing. And the evilness that the tongue inspires, the evilness that's spoken by the tongue, you will find that it comes out of hell itself. It is flamed with Satan and ungodly ways. It's influenced by Satan. It's influenced by the spirit of darkness, the spirit of evil. So all of that, it comes with being destructive. It comes with an uncontrolled tongue. It comes to set a person, to destroy that person, to keep that person from really getting and loving God's people and walking in love where we're supposed to walk. Because when we receive salvation, our old man is crucified with Christ and we become a new creature. However, the remnants of that old man still exist, and we have to begin to forge a path of salvation with controlling and allowing Holy Spirit to control that tongue. We've got to begin to walk in love, and when we walk in love, that means that we're going to consider others before we consider ourselves. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7 is talking about. Because I love you, because I love the Lord, and because I know that you're made in the image of God, because I know that God has a purpose for your life, and I am his ambassador, I am going to speak kindly to you when you are not speaking kindly to me. Because I recognize and I understand that God is doing something and that God will fight my battles. And to return evil for evil is not a good thing. But it is storing up and supporting Satan's kingdom and the hellfires and destructive behavior that certainly hell is known for. So in essence, we've got to begin to allow God to control that tongue. And it takes some time. It takes some practice, because it's not something that's easily done. But, you know, the Holy Spirit will constrain you. The Holy Spirit will stop you from saying what you want to say. When you want to say it, it's almost like the housewives and housewives, and I'm just going to say housewives because there's so many out there in so many cities, and, you know, they're quick to fight. They're quick to express themselves in negative ways, and even in society, we tweet and we put on so social media, what we dislike, and we go with the freedom of speech, and we say that in my commandment, not my commandment, but in the Constitution, I have the freedom to say whatever I want to say. But they don't recognize that to say whatever you say does not necessarily mean that it's right. Sometimes you just need to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles, because God will do it. God says, I will fight your battles if you trust me. Matter of fact, he wants to fight our battles. He says that I am going to fight your battles if you trust me. He said, he told Jehoshaphat that you don't even have to fight in this battle, meaning that I'm going to fight for you. So you can put on the armor of God, and you can put on faith, and you need to put on all those things. Those things are required that we do so. But my point is this: God will fight our battle. God will set into order what we need to say and how we say it. We need to recognize that we are to walk in love and in kindness. And even though the society says, no, you have the opportunity to say whatever you want to say, we cannot say whatever we want to say. We must recognize and we must understand that God is doing something in us, and we are a witness, we are an ambassador, and because we are those things, then we must allow God to give us a tongue that ministers life and not death. Because the tongue has the power to speak life and death. Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. And hallelujah, praise God. That is so true. The verse above says, from the fruits of their mouths a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. So when we begin to see that our tongue is a powerful means for ministry, it's a powerful means to speak life, and we have to understand and we have to begin to guard and practice what we say and how we say it. Let us go into prayer. Father God, I thank you for this lesson. I thank you for those individuals that has taken the time out of their busy schedules this morning to listen. And I pray now that each one will receive the word. And Father God, I pray, God, that you move and you apply this word to their lives. And God, even that individual that may go on Facebook and may find this lesson, I pray that you will assist them. I pray, God, that you'll change their lives. I pray, God, that the word will get out. I pray, God, that someone will be changed by this word, that somebody will understand the love of God. And God, we pray even now, God, that you will continue to build us up, that you will continue to allow us to walk in your love and in your kindness, that Holy Spirit will direct us and guide us and lead us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you that's on the line on this morning. I thank you for tuning in, and I pray, God, that something was said that was encouraging. And leave me a comment. Call me at 309-750-7584. Leave me a text. Let me know what you thought of the word, and if there's any suggestions, I'm certainly open to that. Again, next Saturday, I will not be on the line, but I will return March the 10th. So March the 3rd, there will not be any lesson, but March the 10th, I will be back on the line. Again, we in March already. This is the last week. We have a couple more days in February, and then March is on the way. We are just about out of February. Hallelujah. This year is going so fast and so quickly. Again, thank each and every one of you for being online. I thank you. Have a blessed and wonderful week. Bye-bye.